Well, as I shared with you earlier, much of all of our electronic culture today is designed to keep us connected with one another. Now, again, some of that can be a little bit dangerous. It's nice to be reconnected with old classmates and people that you used to know, people you went to high school or college with. That's all nice. You have to be wise about it. Let's face it, there are some people we just should never contact again. I'm sure a couple of faces have come into your mind even right now. There are just some people. Guys, it may sound like fun to kind of just, you know, Facebook or somebody like an old girlfriend. No, don't do that. Ladies, you don't need to be in touch with an old boyfriend of yours. Yeah, that's just not wise. We need to guard and protect our relationships. When we're our husband, our wife, we guard and protect those things. You got to be smart. You got to remember, Satan doesn't come after us with all the gross stuff. He comes after us with the little things, the little twisted things that work their way in. He's a deceiver. That's what he does. So even things like that, we've got to be mindful of that. Now, we have a word for that today in the church as well, when we are in touch with one another. I've already shared it with you. The word is fellowship. Now, that's a very broad sense of a word. As a matter of fact, in the church, back in, how many of you remember this? Back in the 80s into the 90s, there was a big push by the churches in order to remove a lot of what was called churchies. Heard that term? They were called seeker-sensitive churches. Now, they're still around. But the whole premise of this was is that they wanted to create a church environment where people who did not or would not normally go to church would feel like they could go. So they changed the whole format. You get a lot of churches where there was a lot of audiovisual stuff, a lot of multimedia. I went to a church one time, and I think the guy used something like 15 or 20 movie clips in the middle of his sermon. So rather than saying something, he'd go, now, watch this. And something from Star Wars would come up, or, you know, it was just different kinds of things. It wasn't bad, but it was just very different. The whole thing of that was designed to bring people in who would not normally go to church. Well, we also changed the language, and we started saying things, okay, listen, we don't want to use the word saved in church anymore, because people get that confused with swimming or something, I don't know. But, you know, it's just people don't get that. We don't want to say things like sanctified and redeemed. A lot of churches wouldn't even say the word sin anymore. Wouldn't even say sin. Now, you made a mistake. You made an error. Bad judgment. Kind of sounds like the Hollywood guys and the athletes that get busted for doing stuff, and they go, yeah, well, it was a... You know, I think maybe I was misquoted, or, you know, I misremembered something. I love that one, misremembered. That's a great one. Figure that one out. But churches have done that in the past in order to try to create an environment where everybody would feel welcomed. Now, some of that I think was very effective. There were some massive churches that were created by people who did not normally go to church. That's great. But I got to tell you, I think for me, what I'm more interested in is the presence of the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Bible says draws the hearts of people, is the presence of God. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to want to go to church. But you do need to understand who you are and the importance of coming together, and one of those things is fellowship. Now, turn to Acts, the second chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Fifth book of the New Testament. The first four books, of course, are the Gospels. But the book of Acts is a history of the first church, by and large. Acts chapter 2. And this passage, it starts in the 42nd verse, is a very familiar one. If you've been to church and you've ever been part of a small group ministry, this is the foundational scripture for small groups. When we begin small groups here on a more regular basis, this is what we're going to use because it's truth. Starts in the 42nd verse. It says, they, and that they now are the people of the church that began to come together. This is after the day of Pentecost came and the people began to gather. Jesus has already returned to heaven. It says, they gathered together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, what you have just read is the blueprint of the first church. This is what the church looked like. Now, you will notice that they didn't say they had a beautiful, huge building with stained glass and a steeple. There was a massive organ in the front. There was a pulpit in the center. There was a kneeling rail at the front. The Bible doesn't say any of those things. That's not that those things are bad. But once again, I think for so many people, that is the vision of what church is. And without that, you're not really having church. Can I tell you, there are some people that would never come to Remnant Life as long as we met in a hotel room. Because I'm sure they're convinced that all of a sudden there's going to be an Amway meeting that's going to break out. I'm going to pull out a clipboard or something. That's not going to happen. Unless you, no. I just. But that for so many people is what the picture of church is. Can I tell you that the structure that a church meets is the least of what's most important? That matters the least of all of it. Because I know a number of you have been here, let's see, we've been together, about 4.5 years now. And I'm sure for some folks you're thinking, man, I thought we'd have our own church by now. Well, once again, that's up to God. But here's the good news. This church doesn't function based on where we meet. We function based on the presence and the power of God, and we function on the basis of who you are, the fellowship that we have together. And so the foundation of the church has been built on these six verses. And there are a lot of churches today that are not operating in this way. Can I tell you that this is what we have got to keep our eyes and our minds focused on when we look at how things are going to happen within this church? So what's fellowship? Well, Webster defines fellowship as a companionship, a friendly association, and a mutual sharing of experiences, activities, and interests. Makes sense. So what's the Bible's definition of it? Well, in the original language of the New Testament Greek, the word fellowship is koinonia. Now, that's a word that many of you have probably heard of in the past. There was a big move of this in the 60s when the word koinonia was everywhere. You remember that? That's all you saw, all you heard was koinonia. That's what that word means. It means to be in fellowship with one another. But here's the root of that word. And I know some of you sometimes go, why do you get into all this stuff? Because this is how you understand what the original authors intended for it to say. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. This is a good book. Now, wait till I'm finished before you go, what the heck is he talking about? The original language of the Greek and the Hebrew, the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are no fragments of those things around, of the very first original ones. All we have are copies. And that has progressed down through the ages and has been translated into many different languages. It began with the Vulgate when it was translated into Latin. And it was from that then that we had the first English ones that were translated. How many of you know that when you translate something, things change a little bit. You have to be careful. You have to be very careful. That's why the style of Bible that you use, it's important to stay close to as much of the original language interpretations as you can. There were a lot of efforts back, especially in the 70s and the 80s, where they were creating these Bible versions that were all designed to be language friendly. Now, I don't recommend people, by and large, that you use the King James Bible. Now, before you throw me out of here and tar and feather me, all right, just wait a minute. We don't talk that way anymore. We don't speak in that language anymore. It's important that when you read the scripture that you're able to grasp the meaning of the words, and verily, therefore, thus, they, fact, do, fact, you know, I take. That's not how we talk anymore. And so when people look at a King James Bible, they go, I don't get this. Well, get a Bible that speaks more in an updated language. But even there, I want to encourage you, be careful. Be careful. A lot of these translations have taken tremendous liberties with what the original language said. You don't want to lose sight of those things. So in the original language, koinonia, with fellowship, had a lot more to do than just hanging out together. As a matter of fact, the root of that meant common or shared. That's a depth of relationship with somebody that goes far beyond just something surfacey. So when you talk about church fellowship, the full meaning of that is to participate with others, watch now, either by sharing what you have with them or accepting what it is that they want to give to you. Now that's a much deeper meaning than just getting together and having lunch together once in a while. It means that I give to the other people what they need. It means I'm willing to accept from other people a blessing that they want to give to me. How many of you find it much easier to do something for somebody than to have them do something for you? How many of you that much easier? Yeah, a lot of us are that way. I would much rather do for somebody else than to have them do for me. But you know what you do when you refuse a brother or sister that want to bless you? You know what you've robbed from them? Their blessing. You've robbed their blessing from them when you do not allow them to be able to bless and minister to you. Say, Pastor Dave, aren't you getting off track a little bit? No, I don't think so, because this is all a part of fellowship. It's all a part of what it means to be a part of a church body like we have here today. So look at Acts 2 again, and look at the various components of what it is that we see this first church was comprised of. Right out of the gate, in the 42nd verse, it's teaching, it's fellowship, it's eating together, and it's prayer. Now, listen, trust me, I don't despise eating together. I'm Italian. Eating together is a blessing of God. That's a great thing. I am like the quintessential perfect guy to cook for. We've been doing some experimenting at our house. It's been great. It's been awesome. Not all the meals were incredible. Not her fault. It's what the recipe was. My Katarina's a phenomenal cook. But I like the experimenting. I think that's great. And so eating is all important part of that. And you've heard me say before, in the scripture time, eating was much more than just having food. When you ate with somebody, it was in essence saying, I accept you. I recognize you. This is why it was such a big deal when Jesus was going home with a tax collector to have dinner. That was a huge deal. The disciples are going, Jesus, come here. PR, buddy, this is not good. You do not want to be seen with this guy. That's a bad thing. Of course, Jesus, as he always was not interested in what other people thought about him. He was only interested in doing what the Father told him to do. And so having a meal with this guy was much more than just having food. And in our culture today, meals mean a lot of different things. I think for most of it's just eating food. But there was a time when you sat down with somebody and had a meal, you would discuss business things with them. You'd share intimate details about your life with someone. That's part of how the first church was founded. Because once again, watch what else it says that they were doing. There were miracles that were taking place. There was unity. They were meeting each other's physical needs in verse 45. You see, my friends, that's what I think so much of what a church's life should be. It's not just about coming together on Sunday mornings, although that's a vitally important part. And I'm thrilled to see all of you here this morning. Katarina and I keep track of all the numbers through the years. And it's amazing to see what God's done, the people that he's brought. Some people have left. That's okay. God has you in places for a season. You've seen this in the Bible, the seasons of God's timing. That's fine. But we're so blessed by the people that God has brought here. For what purpose? To fellowship. And to understand what it is to live our lives as brothers and sisters in the Lord. But it's so much deeper than just hanging out on a Sunday morning. What else did they do? They opened their homes. There was joy. There was laughter. They loved being together. They didn't do it begrudgingly or somehow out of an obligation. Can I encourage you this morning, if you come to church out of an obligation to be there, re-examine why you're going. That's not why we should be in church. I come to church because it's the presence of God that I'm hungry after. I come to church here not just because I need to stand up here and do this. I would come to church here even if I wasn't doing this because of you folks. We hear constantly, I'm going to brag on you a little bit because I do this all the time when I'm not with you too. I brag on you guys a lot. I cannot tell you the number of times I've heard people say to me that have come to here for the very first time, I've never been in a place where I just felt so loved and accepted. I hear that all the time. And you know what thrills my heart? That's got nothing to do with me. That's about you. It's about your warmth, your acceptance. That's what we need to be. And can I tell you, church, that as God brings more people to us, I, Katarina, me, Dave, Faith, we are going to fight with everything we have not to lose that. We're going to keep this intimacy. We're going to find a way. You know, that's people say to me, you know, Pastor Dave, what do you want to do? Get like 200-300 people? That makes my heart pound when I hear that. That scares me to death because I don't want to lose this. I don't want to lose the opportunity to be able to know what it is that's happening in your life, to be able to pray for you, to be able to meet needs and to take care of those kinds of things. But that's what the first church was built on. So let me just tell you real quick this morning. Let me give you three things that I believe fellowship does for us. Very fundamental, very basic, but I think they're important. Here's the first one. Fellowship builds faith. When you are fellowshipping with each other, it builds your faith. Because again, it's not just about doing things together like eating and going different places and having events. Those are all great. But you know what it also is? It's about talking about the things of the Lord. It's about sharing who God is in your life and hearing what it is that's taking place in someone else's life. That builds your faith. See, Christianity is unique. In all of the world of religions, of all the different religions that the world practices, Christianity is very unique for a number of different reasons. One of those reasons is because we're dependent on one another to grow as Christians. We need one another. That's the way it was set up in the very beginning. When God created Adam, what was the first things that he said? He said it's not good for him, what? To be alone. That's not how we're created. And certainly within the church and in this fellowship of believers, we've been created to be with one another. Let me ask you this. After you get done spending some time with somebody just talking about the things of the Lord, how do you feel? I feel great. I feel encouraged. I'm excited about what it is that either God's doing in their life or God's doing in my life. Why? Because that time builds unity with each other. You know what the other thing is it brings? It brings accountability. That's a dirty word in our culture today. Now, there was a big movement, Promise Keepers. Talked about that before. How many of you guys remember that, Promise Keepers? Any of you ever go to any of the big meetings? Did you ever go to those great big things they had? A couple of you. It was incredible. Coach McCartney from the University of Colorado, Division I football coach, created this program of men accountable for one another. And this thing exploded for about, what, 10, 15 years, something like that? I mean, it was massive. They were having these big things like at RFK Stadium and like have 40,000 guys come in and you'd hear all these speakers and you'd be singing. I'll tell you, there's nothing much better than 40,000 men singing Amazing Grace a cappella. That was cool. That was neat because you could just wail away and it didn't care what anybody sounded like. But accountability is a critical part. That was a critical part of that ministry and it's still important today. When is the time that the enemy comes at you the hardest is when you're by yourself. It's when you've isolated yourself away from people. Again, I can point back and think about my own life, and I know the times that I felt the most distant from the Lord is when I had separated myself from the most important people around me. Can I encourage you this morning, in those moments of darkness for you, when you're struggling, when maybe even you've walked away from the Lord, do not allow yourself to be isolated from one another. That's the time you've got to reach out. That's the time you've got to make a phone call. I'm not saying you all have to call me. Find a brother, find a sister that loves the Lord and just call them and say, hey, listen, would you do something with me? Would you pray with me? Sometimes, folks, that's all we need is just to spend time in prayer and then watch the power of God come. I'm taking a class right now on spiritual warfare, which is interesting from a Southern Baptist university. Wasn't quite sure what they were going to say about all of that because that's not something that they embrace completely. It's been great, though. But one of the things that we've been talking about in this class and one of the things I wrote in one of the papers that I submitted was the fact that I'm convinced that when we get to heaven someday and we're there for the final judgment, we're going to look at Satan and a lot of us are going to go, that was what all the fuss was about? That's it? Satan's not everything that he wants us to believe that he is. Can I tell you that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? Folks, don't let that just be a familiar verse. You need to live that way. Greater is he that's in me. And when I fellowship with brothers and sisters in the church, it brings me to a place of accountability that I can't hide. I can't pull away. It's the things in secret that we do that the enemy is able to come in and to have influence in our lives. Fellowship removes that. Second thing then is that fellowship builds relationship, obviously. Now here's the first rule of relationship. Can I tell you? Watch now. That depends on you. Relationship starts with you. I heard a story of a pastor that was saying that he had a woman that had come into his church on a fairly regular basis. She would come in about 2 minutes before the service starts, and then during the closing prayer, she would take off. Came for about a month, and then she stopped coming. So he called her. He said, hey, you know, I just haven't seen you in a few weeks, and I just was concerned and wanted to know, you know, is everything okay? And she said, yeah, it's all right. She said, but I won't be coming back. He said, I'm sorry. He said, why not? He said, well, I never developed any relationships with anybody. Well, that started with her. If you come in a little late and leave before everything's done, who has an opportunity to talk with you, to be a part of your life? Can I encourage you, during our times of fellowship, during our service here, you be the one that goes up and says, hey, how you doing? And introduce yourself. You be the one to do that. I'll tell you, if we can create a church body of people that are very at ease going up and introducing themselves to people, you go, Pastor Dave, that's not my temperament. It's not my personality. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It just simply has to do with you going up and go, hey, God bless you. Good to see you this morning. That's not hard to do. But that's the type of thing that's going to build the fellowship and build the relationship with one another. And again, as I do that, as I allow people to come into my life, it puts me at a place of, once again, accountability. Of being able to be removed from opportunities to sin because I've got people around me that love me and care about me. Hebrews 3:13 says this, but encourage one another daily. This is what he says. Encourage one another daily. So as long as it is today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's what Satan does. He deceives us. And if I've got a brother, if I've got a sister near me to help me with those things, people I can talk to and pray with, I can avoid those times of deceit in my life. Folks, it doesn't mean that you never have to deal with it. But what it does mean is that we don't get blindsided. We don't get caught off guard. Why? Because I'm not all by myself. John 3:19 says this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. It's in the darkness, folks, that it becomes so much easier for us to listen to those things that have no business being in our lives. Stay in the light. Stay in the light of fellowship with each other. Here's the last one. Fellowship builds the kingdom. You see, it's not just about our church. It's not just about my life. It's about the kingdom. And what I know that God wants for us as a church, as he wants for all churches, is for us to develop more of a kingdom mentality. It's outside of this place. To develop more of a Christian worldview. What is it that's taking place around the world? Missions is a vital part of what it is that God's called the church to do. But let me tell you something, church. You don't have to go overseas to be a part of a mission. You can mission right in your home. Mission in your school. Mission at your place of work. My brother's starting a new job on Monday. Great place to have a new mission field. To be able to demonstrate who God is in your life. And again, folks, this isn't about standing there and preaching and putting your finger in somebody's face and cracking them on the side of the head with a Bible. King James are good for that. They're usually pretty thick. It's not about that. It's about, what do I say? What do I do? How do I act when the boss is somebody that nobody can stand to be around and they're all getting together and they're talking ugly about this guy or about this girl? What do I do? Well, first of all, I don't participate. But second, can I even be so bold as to go, you know, folks, this isn't helping anything. This isn't helping. Be a peacemaker. Be someone who brings the presence of the Holy Spirit everywhere you go. Fellowship helps to build that. Also helps to build the local body. And this is why I have relationship with a number of pastors in this area. Because I want us to be working together, working in unity. Those of you that were with us from the very beginning, many of you may not know this, on our very first Sunday, September 23rd, 2012, there was a church meeting downstairs, very first service. We had our first services same Sunday. Talk about a PR nightmare. That's not a good thing. But it was a couple weeks later, and I knew the pastor. A couple weeks later, Katarina and I felt like we just wanted to sow into his ministry, just wanted to bless him. We didn't give him a lot. We didn't have a lot to give him, but I wrote a check. And right before his service, I saw him on the steps. I said, George, here, man. I said, we just want to sow a blessing into your work, whatever God's calling you to do. He looked at me like I had 7 heads on my shoulder. I'll never forget the look on his face. I mean, it was like, what are you doing? You're giving me money? And you know what the thinking was? It wasn't that we were in unity with each other. We were in competition with one another. Folks, that's not how God's church should be operating today. We are not in competition with anybody. We are all doing the exact same thing. We are developing, building, working for the kingdom of God. That's what we're called to do, and that's what fellowship does. So it's important to have fellowship within the church. It's also important to have fellowship with other churches. They're doing the work of God as well. They do it just like us? No. Doesn't mean they're doing it wrong. Do they even say and speak the same things that we do? No. No, they're not going to do it the same way we do. But they've been called of God to do that work. And so we're going to support. We're going to continue to pray for them. Why? Because it's the fellowship of a larger body. Folks, as we continue to grow here at Remnant Life, there are going to be more opportunities for things to do. Got Tom's Bible study going. Got a number of different things that are happening. I was talking with Tom the other morning. I'm looking to bring the men's prayer breakfast back again here shortly. I'd like to see that get started again, and any of you guys that can be a part of that. There are going to be other opportunities to do it, but here's what I want to challenge you here this morning. I don't do too many challenges, but I'm going to do a challenge this morning. I want you to begin to ask God, what part do I play in the fellowship of this church? What part do I play? Now watch, it's not just about choosing what it is that you want to go and be a part of. What things do I want to go to? What is it that God's calling you to begin? What is it that God wants you to lead in this church? See, I want to give as many of you opportunities to be leaders as want. Whoever wants to walk into that role. You say, cool, I want to come up and preach next Sunday. Well, no, wait, we'll talk about that. But the opportunities to be used of God, how many of you would be willing to open your home to allow a group to come into your home maybe once a month or once every other month, something like that? How many of you would be interested in organizing, putting together an activity for the church to do? We've got Sight and Sound and American Music Theater and all those kinds of things in the area here. And I've had folks say, man, it'd be kind of cool to take a group to go down. Okay, do it. One of my favorite principles, I was a school teacher for 8 years. And one of the favorite principles I had, I learned something tremendous from him. I was very confused when I became a teacher because I walked into that thinking that I was going to go into the staff room, you know, where you always eat your lunch, and they were all going to be talking about how much they love their students and how much they love teaching. Wow, was I wrong. I was actually dismayed a little bit at the way some of these teachers talked about their kids. Hated them. Hated these kids. Wow. Now, I was a phys ed teacher, so it was a little bit easier. I could bop somebody on the head and make it like part of a game, you know. I got away with a lot of stuff I probably shouldn't have gotten away with. And if any of you want to be teachers, don't listen to this. But this principal, I talked with him. Good, godly man. Loved him to death. A guy named Marlon Lippert. Mr. Lippert died a few years ago. But one of the things that he told me was he said, you know what, I am always willing to listen to any teacher that comes in with a problem, an issue, a complaint, anything like that. He said, but they usually only come once. Because my very first question to them after they tell me about the problem is I go, yeah, I see what you're talking about now. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do to fix that? And see, I believe that we need to carry that into the church as well. There are folks that go, hey, how come we're not doing this? Why don't we do this? Let's do this. Okay, what are you going to do about that? See, a church that's run by a pastor who does everything never lasts. Because I've only got so much that I can do, only so many places I can be, only so much energy. That's true for all of us. But that's not the way we're designed to work as a church. A church that's run by one man is only going to be around for a little while. A church that's run by the ownership of the congregation, of the fellowship of the people that come, that's a church that lasts and lasts and lasts. So my question to you this morning is, what is it God's calling you to do to be a part of this fellowship? I will do everything in my power to help you to create whatever it is you feel God puts on your heart. So you may come up and go, hey, man, we need to have a Harley Bible study on motorcycles, traveling. Hey, great. I won't be there, but I will do everything I can to help make that happen for you. We're going to be getting together in the future here. We're going to be doing some special things together, and I want all of you to be a part of that. But the eating and the gathering together is not the most important thing. The most important thing is, what does that fellowship do for us as Christians? I want to encourage you with that. Don't let the enemy isolate you. Don't stay away from the things that God's doing. I'm not saying you got to come to everything that we do here. But I do want to encourage you. Understand the importance of fellowshipping with one another. A phone call, an email, something that's going to keep you connected to what it is that God's doing here. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. And I thank you, God, for the fellowship of this group of believers. Lord, we're all so different. We look at things differently. We talk, we think, God, our backgrounds, our histories, we're all so diverse. And yet there is a common thread that holds all of us united, and that we are sinners saved by your grace. And so, Father, it is in that we come together as a collective. That we come together, Father, to praise you and to worship you. And so I pray for Remnant Life Church. I pray, God, for the future of what you've called us to do as a fellowship, as a body. Lord, I know, again, there's not one person you've brought here today by accident. There's not one person that's here except by your hand and by your divine intervention. And so, God, I pray that these words have penetrated each of our hearts. And so, God, if I have removed myself, I pray, God, I would be the one to extend that hand. Maybe there's family that the relationship needs to be healed. Father, may I be the one to begin to want to bridge that gap. Father, maybe there's some things in my life going on that I'm just trying to keep away from everybody. Lord, to be able to be accountable to one another is what helps to build our faith, to build our fellowship, and to build our unity. And so, Father, again, we just thank you. And I pray, God, as we leave here today, that you would keep us safe, that we would watch, God, for opportunities to speak your name, to demonstrate your love. And when you bring us back again next week, God, may we come expectant of your presence in all things. It's in Jesus' matchless name that I pray all these things. Amen and amen.